Canucks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast with your hosts, Mike Walters and Eddie Jones. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters, along with my co-host, Eddie Jones. And we're back after a week off, Eddie. You know, not too much happened 2 weeks ago. But this last week, a little bit of stuff's gone on with the Ducks. We've got some injury updates. The protection lists were revealed for the entire league. We're going to talk about that. A couple trades happened, not a lot like some people may have expected. So we're going to go into a whole bunch of those things. But from the last show, what happened is the Ducks had their season ticket holder event, the select a seat event where you get to go and you can change your seats and whatnot. And the GM, Bob Murray, was there and he gave us some updates, Eddie. We did finally learn that Kessler's injury was his hip and that he had a surgery on it, and had a chance to talk to Murray. And the word is, Eddie, is that it's not going to be a big deal. He's going to be out, you know, doing some rehab for a couple months, but he's going to be ready to go come the season. So that's the last injury update that we were waiting on, Eddie.
Yeah, and I mean, pretty much confirms that half the team is injured after the playoffs. And I mean, you see that from everybody. I'm sure a lot of the Penguins players are injured. We heard about Nick Bonino playing on pretty much a broken leg almost, and I'm sure a lot of the Nashville players are hurt too. But yeah, it's crazy. And I mean, it's good for us that he's going to be ready for the beginning of next season. And obviously we heard about the news with Lindholm as well. And to some extent, Vatanen, although we believe he won't be part of the Ducks come the beginning of next season. But yeah, it's great to hear. Obviously we want everybody to be ready. The verdict is still out on Lindholm. Obviously no new updates, and it all depends on how his recovery goes over the majority of the offseason, but we hope to have him on opening day as well. And then, you know, it's key for the Ducks to have everybody ready, especially we saw it this year. You know, another slow start because Raquel wasn't ready because he wasn't signed. Lindholm came a little bit late because we were waiting for him to get signed. So I think having everybody ready to go at the beginning of this season is going to be huge for the Ducks to get a good start.
Yeah, absolutely. Murray did touch on Lindholm a little bit. He just said that his rehab was going well, but like you said, you know, nothing specific. So hopefully we'll get him at the beginning of the season. He did cover some other topics, which you know, have come up throughout this past week as well. He does want to get Fowler a contract extension. He's also been talking to Eves. Not sure if that's going to get worked out, but that's definitely something else he's trying. So those are some of the key updates that he gave at that event. And, you know, that's kind of plays into some of the news that came out this week. You know, as far as Eves and Fowler go, if those things are going to get done, then the Ducks need more money. Well, Eddie, the Ducks ended up buying out Simone Dupre, and they're going to save some money that way. So unfortunate situation for him. You know, he was trying to get back on the ice. He seemed pretty, you know, gung-ho about coming and, you know, making a run at playing for the Ducks next season at some of the practices when you talk to some of the people there. But now he's you know, at least if he tries, he's not going to be back with the Ducks. Like I said, it's a sad situation for him if he's not able to play. It does kind of help the Ducks, though, because, you know, they bought out his contract before the turning point and gives a room to, you know, try and work with Fowler and Eves, Eddie.
Yeah, and I think it's good. Obviously, it's disappointing for Dupre. You want to see him, you know, be able to play and come back and at least just have a life, even if it is away from hockey, obviously, with all the concussion issues. But it does open up a lot of space for the Ducks. The main issue, like you mentioned, was Fowler's contract extension. That's going to be the big turning point where that money becomes available. Maybe, like you said, in resigning Eves or having more money to go out and get some other free agents come July 1st. And I think it's important for the Ducks to have that cap space. You know, there's a couple guys coming off the books as well, and Jonathan Bernier, his $4 million contract's coming off the books, and a couple other guys as well. So the Ducks are going to have some room to work with. If Vatanen ends up moving and the Ducks don't bring any cap, that's another $4 million off the books. So they're actually going to finally have some space to work with, something we're not used to lately for the Ducks. So I think that's going to be great for them. You know, Fowler's probably going to get at least a $2 million raise, around $5.5, $6 million is what it's been rumored to be around. And then, you know, they'll have a good chunk of it to work with guys like Eves and maybe some other free agents.
Yeah, according to Cap Friendly, you know, they're saying that the cap hit for Dupre obviously $3.7 million. It said it's going to go down to $1.2 million next season, and then it obviously goes down all the subsequent years. And we wrote an article on that. It's posted in there. You can also go to Cap Friendly and see the chart in there. But that's going to be a huge break there. And over the rest of his contract, because they did it at the age of 25, the Ducks are only going to have to pay a little over $5 million instead of $10 million. So, you know, like we said, unfortunate for Dupre, but it's going to help the Ducks with some of their goals. And like you said, some players are going to come off the books, so the Ducks are going to have some more room, you know, with all the stuff going on. Obviously, there's a lot coming up, a lot of things we got to cover as far as the league and whatnot. I'll kind of give you a rundown. You know, I mean, it's like I almost have to keep a calendar, Eddie, of everything because I forget which days what's going on, what's happening. And if you've been following it, obviously today the protection list came out for all of the teams. And for the Ducks, it's just kind of a crazy week. There's a lot of, as you know, during this time, there's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of misinformation. A lot of people are posting stuff, especially on Twitter and whatnot. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. And we do know now that the list for the Ducks is going to include 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie. And that list is, for the forwards, Getzlaf, Perry, and Kessler, which we knew with the no-movement clause. And then the additional forwards are Silverberg, Cogliano, Raquel, and Vermette. The defensemen, Bieksa, Fowler, and Lindholm, and then the goalie, Gibson. So it's a little different than what maybe some people thought, you know, a couple months ago. It's kind of what we figured it would be. We had a projected list, which ended up being this list. And it basically leaves the situation for the Ducks as having to deal with Manson and Vatanen now, Eddie, and that's the big turning point. All the stuff going on out there is that the Ducks are trying to either work something out with Vegas or already do have something worked out with Vegas, in which you know, Manson will not be going there, hopefully. But it sounds like Vatanen may be traded to somebody at some point. I mean, it's just so crazy what's going on right now.
Yeah, and yeah, the only difference, like you said, from the list that we had probably mid-season or earlier on is that we thought that Bieksa would waive or be asked to waive his no-move clause, and that doesn't, you know, that's obviously not the case, and now Vatanen and Manson are both exposed. And it does create a situation for the Ducks. Obviously, there's the rumored deal that they've made with Vegas that will, I believe, protect either Manson or Vatanen or both. Obviously, we don't know anything about the deal because it won't be revealed until the team's revealed on the 21st at the NHL Awards, which is extremely frustrating for us because, you know, we would love to know what the Ducks are giving up. The rumors are endless. You know, there's rumors it's Theodore, there's rumors it's Larson, there's rumors it's next year's first-round pick. I mean, it honestly, it could be anything, and we won't know until the Wednesday, so you know there's no point in really speculating what it could be, but it's definitely frustrating. You know, we want to keep both those guys, mainly want to keep Vatanen so you don't lose him for nothing, and I'm sure Bob Murray doesn't want to lose him for nothing. He's said that before, and the same goes for Manson. He'd like to keep him on the team. So I think realistically you probably work out a deal with Vegas where they go and they pick a guy like Wagner or Shaw instead of Manson and Vatanen, and the Ducks give up considerable assets in return. So, I mean, George McPhee is going to make a killing on some of these teams.
Yes.
in the next few coming days here. I mean, there's some teams we'll talk about in a bit, like the Islanders and the Blue Jackets are in almost a worse position than the Ducks, and they're going to be giving up some good assets to keep some of their players around as well.
Yeah, if anybody's in the driver's seat, it's McPhee in Vegas. I mean, this guy's phone must be blowing up nonstop with phone calls from different GMs all around the league trying to figure it out. I mean, he's probably got, like you and I talked about before the show, he's probably got 30 cell phones like sitting at his side because you know right now that with these lists being revealed and some teams being in the situations that there are, there's all kinds of side deals, all kinds of stuff going on. And it is frustrating for all of you out there and us here, too, because you got to wait. Unfortunately, you know, the way that the timeline has gone this week is right now we're in the situation where no team can trade with another team besides Vegas. So there's a freeze going on right now. It actually started on Saturday at noon Pacific time, and it's going to run through this week until Thursday the 22nd in the morning, 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. So right now, everybody's trying to do stuff with Vegas. Like you said, it's not going to be revealed till Wednesday. Wednesday is going to be a crazy day for everybody because, as you know, that's going to be the Vegas Awards show. It's scheduled to start around 5 o'clock Pacific time. 8 o'clock Eastern. You're going to have that going on. You're going to have, you know, whoever Vegas is going to pick. You know, everybody's freaking out because, you know, their team's going to lose a player. You have all that jersey reveal stuff going on with Adidas as well. That's coming up before that, which we've heard that the Ducks jersey doesn't sound like it's going to be anything too much different. It may just have an Adidas logo instead of a Reebok logo. Honestly, there's more rumors about the jersey changing 2018-2019. But that's kind of the schedule you're looking at in the next couple of days, Eddie. It's really crazy. And then, of course, you've then got the, you know, the actual draft coming up, the regular draft on the 23rd and the 24th. So it's a very, very busy week, not just for the Ducks, but for everybody.
Yeah, and I think one of the most surprising things, too, is how the lack of excitement leading up into it, other than obviously the Jonathan Drouin trade and a couple trades were made yesterday. But you know, we expected a ton of teams to be making trades up and before the expansion draft. You know, Minnesota was supposed to move a defenseman. Nashville was supposed to make some deals to free up some space for their forwards. The Islanders were supposed to make some deals. Obviously, the Ducks were supposed to deal Vatanen, and in the end, none of them were made. The only deal that was made was the Drouin one, which Tampa Bay almost kind of had to make to be able to protect an extra forward. So that was probably the most interesting thing for me. I mean, you know, come the draft, maybe we'll see some of these deals made, but if teams can work out deals with Vegas to keep these players around, there's almost no need for them to move these players anymore. The only team, in my opinion, that really has to make the move still, if Vatanen is around, is the Ducks. And, you know, they still want to get a forward. There's still a logjam on defense. And if Vatanen doesn't go to Vegas, then, you know, the Ducks will definitely still look to get a forward for him. So I think that's probably the most interesting thing so far. But like you said, it's a crazy week coming up. A lot of different things going on the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, 24th. There's pretty much something going on every day. So it's going to be an exciting week, that's for sure.
And, you know, it's been weird this past week too, Eddie, because what you talked about, like with Vatanen, it was crazy. There were so many people saying that Vatanen deal was already done and he was going to be traded. I mean, and it's a big name, people talking about it, you know, you had Pierre LeBrun saying this, you had other people from other similar blogs to ours and other websites, and all these people saying that it was going to be done earlier, you know, in the week, the middle of the week and everything. And then you get all the way up to Saturday and nothing happens. So that was, I think, one of the biggest surprises, is that Vatanen wasn't dealt before the freeze yesterday at noon. I mean, that's the weird thing. So, I mean, what's going to happen as far as Vegas and the Ducks and their situation? I still think it's going to go towards the draft pick or prospect given to Vegas to avoid them taking Manson, and maybe even Vatanen too, however that's going to work. Because there are rumors out there that Vatanen was going to get traded to Vegas. But you and I were kind of going back and forth about this and that possibility. And this is the situation that Vegas and, you know, these other teams are working out. But, well, I mean, Vegas isn't going to want to trade for Vatanen. I wouldn't think, because you and I mentioned this, if they're going to trade for him, I mean, it would have to be some kind of ridiculous deal in their favor, because right now they're going to take him for free.
Yeah, I mean, there really is no... The only way he ends up in Vegas is, in my opinion, is if he's left exposed, they don't work out a deal, and Vegas picks him. If you're George McPhee, why do you give up assets for a guy that you can pick for free? And obviously, there's a lot of working parts behind it, and maybe he does end up there, and the Ducks end up getting something in return. It just doesn't make a lot of sense for that to be the case, unless the Ducks give up an asset in return to receive an asset, so it's Vatanen plus right. Something to get something back from Vegas, and that's a possibility. But in the end, you might as well then just give up the asset to protect both and then trade Vatanen for a forward down the road. And it's going to be an interesting situation, that's for sure. I mean, I definitely believe come July 1st, he's not going to be a part of the Ducks. I think he's either going to be on Vegas or on a different team. The Ducks are going to get something in return, hopefully, for him. But you never know. The fact of the matter is, we don't know what this trade with Vegas is. We don't know the current situation of Manson and Vatanen in regards to that trade. So it's going to come down to that. And really, we won't know anything until the 21st. We can only speculate, and we'll have to see.
And that's the thing. You wonder, I mean, we saw it this morning with the protection lists. It was supposed to come out at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern. There was a lull for half an hour, and then you started seeing some of these leaks. So now the question is, are you going to see some leaks in some of these trades? But then I can't remember. There was a meeting recently where they had talked to the GMs, and they said not to leak any of these trades. So you wonder if you know, the next couple of days we're all going to be sitting there like the little the GIF that I post with the duck, you know, just sitting there staring off into space, wondering what's going to happen for the next couple of days. Because if they're all told to keep it on lockdown, of course you're going to see people posting stuff on Twitter that, you know, who knows what they're saying. But I mean, maybe nothing gets leaked, Eddie, until Wednesday, and we just have to sit for another couple of days.
Yeah, and I would think if you know, there's definitely got to be some harsh penalties or something along those lines if anything is leaked. You know, the NHL is keeping this tight-lipped for a reason, and you know, I'm among the people that are frustrated that we don't get to see the trades, but I see why. You know, if all the trades get leaked out of this guy's getting protected because, you know, the Ducks are giving this prospect and or this pick to Vegas.
Chaos.
It's going to make it a lot easier for us. Yeah. For anybody to predict the roster and get it pretty close to what it will actually turn out to be. And if you leave it like this, it gives you more speculation. It will definitely get more people watching the NHL awards, and I think that's a big reason behind it too, is they definitely want that. And for Vegas too, you know, they want their fans and even people around the NHL to be surprised when their roster comes out. And you know, the amount of mock drafts you can make right now, there's a million different combinations, and you don't know who's going to be protected, who's going to make a trade to protect this guy and keep them Vegas from picking him. And I think that adds to the excitement. Obviously it would be great to know, especially for us, for the Ducks trade, and at least know that trade. But you know, every other team is essentially in the same situation right now, but there's a majority of teams that have to make out deals with Vegas right now to keep players from getting picked. And I think it's gonna be a lot of information at one time on Wednesday, but you know, I think in the end it'll be worth it not knowing the trades.
Yeah, I agree. And I think part of it too, is another angle of not announcing all the stuff is if a team sees another team work out some kind of deal, then now there's kind of a competitive advantage almost to some of these teams, maybe, or at least an idea of what they can work with, you know, with Vegas. Because now if they see this team goes, oh, I'm going to, you know, give them this player for this, you know, to not take this guy, well then I can, you know, lowball it, or I'm gonna have to highball it, or whatever, you know what I mean? I think there's a it just creates a little bit of advantage for certain teams to weigh out certain things, and now there's none of that. Now it's just like the team's got to deal with Vegas back and forth and try and figure it out without really talking to the other teams, GMs, and figuring out with what they're doing, which of course some of them are talking, but you know what I mean? I think it kind of protects that a little bit, so that Vegas can try to figure out how they're going to deal stuff. But either way around, Eddie, Vegas is in the driver's seat right now.
Oh yeah, they're going to make a killing off this process here, that's for sure. And I think it's fair. I mean, I like the fact that Vegas could be a pretty good team next year, or they could switch that around and you know, they might be a bad team next year, but the amount of prospects and draft picks and everything that they acquire is going to help them down the road. I mean, you look at the teams that are rumored to be willing to give them a first round pick for them to pick a specific player off their roster. It's unbelievable. I mean, they've already got obviously their first round pick, which is the 6th overall. You've got the rumor that Columbus is willing to give up a prospect in the 24th overall pick for them not to take some guys off their protection list. And then you've got today, the Islanders are rumored to be giving up their first round pick so that none of their players are picked or the ones that they want to keep. And there's a couple other teams. Minnesota's another one. Dumba's exposed, and you would assume that they'd be willing to give up their first round pick to keep him on their team. I mean, that's three right there. And there's more teams that would probably be willing to give up their first round pick to keep some of the players that are currently exposed. I mean, they could end up coming out of this with 5 first round picks and potentially 15, 16 draft picks in total in this draft. I mean, 4 or 5 years down the road, we might look at this Vegas team and most of it, the team will be comprised from the players that were picked in this draft.
And you're right. I think that this team, you know, could be a very competitive team right off the bat in the first season. I mean, looking at everything that's going on right now, all these protection lists that are out there, all these players that are exposed, you know, the Ducks are in a little bit of a situation like you talked about, and there's some other teams too as well. I mean, you know, one of our favorite players, James Neal on Nashville, you know, he wasn't protected. So you got him out there, and a couple others, Eddie, you know, that they could possibly take, or like you said, teams are going to have to, you know, ante up in order to not have certain players be claimed by Vegas. But either way around, I think they're going to be a competitive team. You know, I don't think they're going to, you know, necessarily compete for the Pacific Division, but I mean, they can definitely be a playoff type team next year. I mean, obviously it's premature. We don't know exactly the roster, and we're not going to know for a little bit, but there's a good chance that they're going to clean up in this next week. And, you know, they're not going to be a bottom feeder for next season, at least.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ways they could go. I mean, from what we've heard from McPhee and from Vegas is that they want to get young players. They want to get guys they can build off of. They want to get prospects. They want to get draft picks. So, you know, you see some guys exposed like Joel Ward in San Jose, and you know, he's a good serviceable player, but at his age, you know, there's probably a chance that they don't select him. They would probably go with a younger player instead and develop them. But then you look at the case like you mentioned with James Neal. You know, there are some other players that they could pick. Colby Sissons is available. Austin Watson's available in Nashville. But, you know, maybe for Vegas, they take James Neal and then look to move him at the deadline and get assets that way. There's a lot of ways they could take this. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who they pick and the way that they go. But in some cases, I mean, there's some very good players available. We'll talk about it in a bit. But you look at some of these teams out there and the guys that they left on the table, you know, Vegas has a lot of options right now.
Yeah, and one of those teams I think you talked about was the Islanders. They've got a couple that they could probably pull from that team.
Yeah, and for the Islanders, I mean, they're probably the team that I didn't expect to be interesting. I knew they would leave some players available, but the amount of guys that are left available, they're going to lose a pretty good player, and I don't think, you know, that even with the first-round pick, they're going to be able to keep all of them. I mean, you look at a guy like Brock Nelson's available, Ryan Strome's exposed, Josh Bailey's exposed, Calvin DeHaan is exposed. I mean, those are four very good players on the Islanders. And, you know, a first-round pick mightn't let you keep maybe two or three of those guys, but one of them I feel like is going to be going to Vegas, and it'll be interesting to see which one in the end. I mean, the Islanders are one of them. You got to look at Columbus as well. They left Jack Johnson exposed. They left William Karlsson exposed. Josh Anderson's exposed. Obviously, they protect Bobrovsky. You have to, but that left young goalie Joni Korpisalo exposed as well. So there's rumors that Columbus, like I said before, is going to give up their first-round pick to keep Vegas from picking some of those guys, but it's going to be hard to keep all of them. And then another team as well is the Florida Panthers. They left Luongo exposed, which I honestly don't think Vegas is going to pick Luongo, but they left him exposed, which is a little bit interesting. And they decided to go with the four defensemen and four forwards option, which left Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault exposed. And Marchessault is a good option for Vegas if they want to go that way. I mean, he did score 30 goals this year for Florida, which is well above his career high, and he only makes $750,000, so that's a good option that maybe you take him now. He has a good season in Vegas, and you move him at the deadline, like I mentioned with James Neal. And then the last team here probably would be the Minnesota Wild. They had to leave one of their good defensemen exposed in the same situation as the Ducks. They couldn't move Brodin or Scandella yesterday. They ended up leaving Dumba exposed, and that's a guy they definitely want to keep around. They don't want to lose for nothing, so I could see a deal being worked out there. And then, surprisingly as well, they left Eric Staal exposed, who had a really good season in Minnesota this year, only makes $3.5 million, and he's a good option if Vegas, again, wants to pick up a guy and possibly move him at the deadline for more assets.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, with all this stuff going on, were you surprised at the lack of amount of trades that didn't go down as we came to it? Because, I mean, the big ones, we can talk about them, you know, Drouin got moved and Mike Smith got moved. Those were kind of the two ones that, you know, if anything big happened on Sat, you know, before Saturday's freeze. But besides that, there wasn't a whole lot, Eddie.
Yeah, and I think that is surprising. You look at teams like I mentioned, like, you know, maybe not the Islanders because they had four guys. It's hard, it's difficult to trade enough guys to make that work out. But, you know, for Minnesota, you know, leaving Dumba exposed, you just have to make one trade there in Brodin or Scandell, or even trading Dumba to get out of that situation. But obviously there is an issue there. You know, the same thing with the Ducks not being able to trade Vatanen. I'm assuming the offers were probably very low in what you would normally think you'd be able to get for a guy like Dumba or a guy like Vatanen, and that's maybe why the deals weren't made yesterday. I mean, obviously teams knew that the Wild and the Ducks were in a bad situation and that they would have to trade a guy like Brodin, like Vatanen, like Dumba, to get out of a bad situation, and the offers probably weren't as high as they normally would be. And I think that's why we didn't see a lot of trades yesterday, and you see a lot of guys today left open. I think they would rather make a trade with Vegas, lose a pick, instead of losing one of those players and getting something small in return. You know, we talked about this already. If the Ducks can trade away a prospect or a pick to keep Vatanen around and end up moving him for the forward they're looking for, in the end, that's almost a better option, even though you're losing probably a good prospect or a pretty high pick. But in the end, you're getting that forward that your team needs to hopefully make a push and win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was, you know, a buyer's market, really, because certain teams, like you said, were in bad situations. And those other teams knew, okay, there's these players, you know, yeah, I'll take so-and-so or so-and-so, but I'm only going to give you this, or I'm only going to give you, you know, these, you know, picks or whatever. So I think you're right. I think a lot of the teams were already, their GMs are already working out stuff with McPhee in advance anyway. So I think that could have slowed it down a little bit, other than some of the ones that we did see go down, you know, before that deadline. The other situation, and this is kind of a crazy one, it could happen, but it's highly unlikely. But if no deal is done with Vatanen, and say Vegas does take Vatanen, there's that situation. It's not likely, but if that happens, Eddie, you know, the Ducks would get $4.8 million in cap space, which it would be, for lack of a better word, suck, because obviously Vatanen would go to Vegas and we don't get anything back, but you do get that huge cap space that could then also be in turn to, you know, keep a Patrick Eves or go get another forward or try to, and or with that amount, you know, give Fowler an extension as well, because that's been a hot topic too. So not saying that that's what I want to happen. I'm just saying, I'm trying to cover all the angles here because there's just so much going on. There's so many moving parts to this, you know, last week and this week. But that's another scenario, that probably the least likely out of all of them. But I'm just saying, don't be surprised if something crazy unfolds, because we've seen so many things change this week, Eddie, where, you know, this was going to happen and then no, it didn't. So I'm just throwing that out there. That's another crazy thing to keep in mind, though not likely to happen.
Yeah, that would probably be the most disappointing option if it did happen. And, you know, the only way that that ends up coming good in the end is if they can use that cap space to go out and get, you know, a high-end free agent, which there aren't many of. And you know, really, it's arguably just TJ Oshie is the top-end free agent that you'd be looking for on forward. And, you know, I doubt the Ducks already are going to get him anyway, and he's going to want a long contract at least $6 million, you would assume. So I don't think even losing just Vatanen for nothing and gaining that $4.8 million or whatever in cap space is enough to entice the Ducks to go get Oshie, or for Oshie to stay around and come to the Ducks. So that would be probably the most disappointing option. In the end, I don't think Murray's going to lose Vatanen for nothing. I think he's resigned to not losing Manson and Vatanen for nothing. So we'll see, most likely, obviously we know there's a trade in place, but we'll see the Ducks giving up a prospect or a couple picks or a roster player, whatever it is in the end, for them to end up keeping both those guys and moving Vatanen. I think that's the most likely option, but we just don't know. And that's the reality of the situation. We don't know. We won't know until Wednesday, and we can speculate all we want. I mean, Twitter's the center for that right now, for speculation, especially with the list being released. But
yeah,
you know, we won't know anything until Wednesday, and it'll be, you know, it's frustrating, but it's exciting at the same time to see how this is going to unfold.
Yeah, and we're not going to post a lot of stuff to try to add to that speculation. Some of you know, it's not just me that runs the account. Eddie runs the account too. And there's actually a couple other people that help run the Twitter account. So there's several of us that do it, but we try to keep the speculation at a minimum. I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we see comes out, and we try to verify some of it, and then it turns out to be wrong, and then it goes another way. So we try to only put out the stuff as we know that's going to come up, and you know, do the best we can to try to not add to the fire, so to speak. But, you know, we do have some fan questions about some of these things too, Eddie. One of them, you know, Eddie Richard asked about Fowler. We were talking about him and his extension. You know, Fowler's contract is $4 million this next season, and then he's a UFA the following year. So he's asking, what do you think, you know, regardless how this all shakes out, say Fowler gets an extension, how many years and how much do you think it would be worth, is what he's wanting us to project.
Yeah, I mean, it's been rumored that he's going to get around, you know, $5.5-6 million,
mm-hmm.
Is what and I think, you know, that's pretty fair. You look at some of the other guys in similar age and value to their team. You know, Morgan Rielly in Toronto, he makes $5 million. Torrey Krug makes $5.2 million in Boston. Seth Jones makes $5.4 million. Oliver Ekman Larson makes $5.5 million. You know, and obviously Lindholm makes 5.7. I think that's what he'll settle around. Those are some obvious comparables for him. I think six is probably the high end, and pretty high for the Ducks. You know, he is a valuable player to the Ducks, but six, especially with the cap situation the Ducks are in, is definitely high, and that puts him right into the top, you know, the top 15 in defensemen and in salary in the league. So, you know, I don't know if he'll get around that. It all depends. Obviously, the Ducks are working right now, from what we've heard, signing him to an extension, and the Dupre buyout and other guys coming off the books help that. And I think it eventually gets done. It's just the number. And you know, you got to look at Lindholm on the same team as well, as that's going to be a factor in what Fowler's going to end up getting. And maybe they get almost around the exact same salary. Obviously, we saw that with Getzlaff and Perry when they signed. And I think the value to the team, obviously, I think Lindholm is probably more valuable to the team than Fowler. But the way they look at it, they might get them close to the same. And I think in the end, he probably signs anywhere from around 5.5 to 6 million.
Yeah, I think, you know, Fowler will get a decent amount, you know, especially after last season, just going off, really. I mean, he just, you know, offensively was really piling it on. But, yeah, I think if you're going to look at it, I could see Fowler getting anywhere from 5.25 to 5.6 or 7. I would think somewhere in those areas where he would be, somewhere in the fives. I think, like you're saying, I think six is maybe a little bit too high. But I would say definitely higher than five. That's what I look at. And I would look at, that contract to, you know, obviously be multiple years. I would think maybe 3 or 4 years, Eddie. I don't know if it'd be a crazy 5 or 6 year type thing, which, I mean, it could be, but I would think maybe 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I would think so. I think at most six, you know, that would take him what to his 31st birthday. So I think, you know, that's a decent length of a contract for a guy at 25 right now. You know, I think that's a, you know, you don't see really 7, 8, 9, 10 year contracts anymore. They just don't really happen. Six seems to be, you know, the max. Obviously, we saw Jonathan Drouin get signed to a 6 year deal right after he got traded to Montreal, and that seems to be kind of the cap for younger players now, is 6 years. So anywhere from 4 to 6, I think it all depends, and it really comes down to what, you know, Fowler and his agent, what the team think he's worth and what he could be worth in the future. I think, you know, I think his ceiling is probably $5.5 to $6 million. So that might warrant, you know, a 6 year contract if they think that he's going to be worth that over the next 6 years. And I think that's probably, you know, 5 or 6 is the most realistic option for him, for Fowler and the Ducks.
Yeah, I agree. And this kind of ties into another question too. We had Kent asked about, you know, the buyout of Dupre and what's going to happen with Botnin, and, you know, kind of what's the positives of the extra cap space. Well, I think this is one of the things. I think with those situations, whatever happens with Botnin, whether he gets traded to Vegas or another team, or they just pick him up, or however that works out, you know, coupled with the Dupre thing, like we said, I think the Ducks will be able to give Fowler an extension that is, you know, respectable, that he deserves, and that the team can afford. And like we said earlier, I think the other positive is the Ducks, they are talking to Eaves. They're trying to work out something. You know, Eaves wants to stay too, you know, but I mean, we've seen that situation happen before. We've seen other players that said the same thing and then they went to other teams. But at least, you know, if somehow the Votnin's taken off the books, you know, some other people asked about Bernier, which we don't know either, but we're pretty sure we don't think he's going to come back. But you have these other situations happening. The positive, really, Eddie, is like you said, this last season, the Ducks were so held up against the cap. Now they actually have some wiggle room. They can actually go to Eaves and be like, hey, we actually have a few million. You know, let's talk. Whereas before it was like, hey, we have no wiggle room. We're screwed. So I think that's the biggest positive out of this whole situation. It's unfortunate because you don't know what they're going to do with that extra money, but at least it's there. And they have options, Eddie, to try to get, you know, Eaves to stay another year or two, or if not, to go get another forward.
Yeah, and I think that's big. You look at, you know, the squad depth on forward last year, and it became an issue, especially in the playoffs. And, you know, so the guys they did sign in Bull and even Vermette to some extent weren't really that effective. come playoff time, or and even maybe at points during the regular season. So I think maybe going out and getting Eves, and if you can get him for a decent price and bringing him back, is important, because the way he gelled with Getzlaf was perfect. And then maybe you can look at a guy like Sam Gagne, you can look at a guy like Christopher Stieg or Nick Bonino, and maybe bring in one or two of those guys and help out the top nine on this team. And then maybe, you know, the long shot here, but if you have the cap space to do it, maybe you take a look at a guy like TJ Oshie, if you can get him for 2 or 3 years, you know, at around $5 or $6 million, if you have the cap space to work with. I don't think the Ducks do, to be honest, but you have that freedom to maybe go and look at that option and discuss that option and possibly bring in a top six forward like that. So I think it gives them the more freedom to work around, like you said, and that's something we really haven't had in a while, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, free agency this year will be definitely interesting for Ducks fans.
Yeah, you know, something I didn't mention about this too earlier, I mean, I talked about the select-a-seat thing, but Murray did talk about at that event that he was looking to go out and get another top forward. I mean, obviously that was, you know, the whole thing last year too. So that's still there. Whether or not it's Patrick Eaves or it's someone else, we don't know, but at least we have that option. So that's another thing to, you know, keep an eye on as some of these players and some of this movement goes on. And like we said, the Dupre thing was a little surprising. Not necessarily about his health, that's unfortunate, but as far as getting that extra money, because they were able to do it, you know, right before his birthday. So that's going to help the Ducks with some of that space. And they'll go from there, you know, and the Ducks will try. That's what it looks like. They're trying to extend Fowler. They're trying to get another forward. And they're probably going to be trying to get another type of goalie, too. Murray did talk about the draft at that event, and he did talk about trying to draft a goalie. So that's something else that we didn't really talk about a lot. There's been so much talk about the forwards. There's been even more talk, obviously, about the defense and all this, trying to figure out, you know, who's going where and who's staying and how are the Ducks going to afford all these people. But the goalie situation is something we didn't really talk about much, and it's kind of not been out there in the news. And, you know, at least in regards to the Ducks, Eddie. But that's a situation where, you know, if the Ducks don't bring back Bernier, you have to look and see what they're going to do. I mean, they could try to go get somebody, or they could, you know, have Enroth as a backup. You know, there's a couple options there. Any thoughts on, you know, maybe what the Ducks do in that part of their roster?
Yeah, there's some decent options for backup goalies. Obviously, you know, the market is better for a backup goalie. If you're looking for a starting goalie, you're kind of out of luck in free agency this year. But, you know, for a guy who can play behind Gibson, we've talked about this before. You know, there's Peter Budaj is available in free agency. You look at Mike Condon as well, Anders Nielsen, Chad Johnson, Keith Kincaid, and also the option of possibly bringing back Jonathan Bernier. Other than that playoff game, I think everybody was pretty happy with the way his season went. But, you know, there's a lot of options for the Ducks. I think, you know, there's no clear cut, you know, go for this guy for sure. I think they're all serviceable options and that they'll all do the job. And really, you know, you hope this year, if you make the playoffs, your number one goalie doesn't get hurt. You know, you can't, we all can't be Pittsburgh Penguins and have Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray to fall on. And they won't even have that option next year, most likely, if Vegas ends up taking Fleury. So, you know, it's difficult. I mean, we were spoiled when we had Gibson and Freddie. So if one got hurt, you could fall on the other one, and they're both starting goaltenders. And it's difficult to have that in the NHL nowadays. And I think, you know, the majority of the load's going to fall on Gibson. So in my opinion, if you go out and get a backup goaltender, I don't want them to spend more than $1 or $2 million. And really, of all the options available, you know, there's no real clear-cut guy that they should go after.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that there was a goalie trade too that happened, you know, this past weekend, and we had George ask us about that trade and what do you think. You know, you saw Mike Smith end up going to Calgary, and you saw Chad Johnson go to Arizona along with Brandon Hickey in a conditional third round pick. You know, some people are, you know, there's a lot of mixed emotions, but some people are thinking that this was kind of a, you know, an unfair trade. What did you think? Did you think one it was an even trade, or do you think one team is going to benefit more than the other in this one?
You know, I think it was always going to happen with Arizona. I think Mike Smith's time was done based on his comments after some games and after the end of the season. It seemed like he was fed up with the direction of the team and the direction of management and building the team. So I think it made sense for him to go. In regards to going to Calgary, I honestly thought they might be in on a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury or somebody else, like Antti Raanta from New York, the New York Rangers. But in the end, they end up getting Mike Smith. And I think it's a good option for them. I don't think anybody really won or lost this deal right now. I think it all depends on the play of Mike Smith. You know, he's been a decent goaltender on a bad team for the last few seasons. And, you know, there's definitely a little bit of an upgrading in going to Calgary and playing behind their defense and in a better team there. So I think, you know, we'll have to wait until the season to really see who won this deal. You know, there's not much good in exchange. The Chad Johnson going to Arizona, he's a UFA, so he might not even re-sign there. He might actually even go back and re-sign in Calgary as the backup behind Mike Smith. So it really comes down to the conditional third that could turn into a second and the prospect that Arizona receives. But for a 35-year-old goaltender, I think it's a decent return. And, you know, if he plays well in Calgary this season, then it's a win for Calgary. I mean, they had goaltending issues last year. They had goaltending issues when they got Hiller from us. You know, they really haven't had a serviceable goaltender in a long time. So, you know, he's only got a couple seasons left. Realistically, he's 35 right now. So, you know, he's got 2 years left on his deal. So he's going to have to make an impact this year or next year with Calgary if it's going to be a good deal for them.
Yeah, that's my only thing is I look at the longevity of Smith, and that's the thing with Calgary doing this deal. Like you said, they've had issues with the goalies. We know that, especially, you know, with the Ducks, you know, beating them at home all those, you know, years in a row now, but even recently, and then, of course, in the playoffs as well. So if they get Smith, you know, to me, it's a real short-term deal. So hopefully he does well and helps them out, except when they play us. But I just don't see it being. I don't know. I think it's an okay deal. I don't love the deal. I don't really hate the deal. I just think that it's something that may only help them out in a season or two. So that's kind of the only other real trade that happened, other than the Drouin trade. You know, that one was out there too. Our other blog through the Puck Network, Bay Bolts, they wrote a couple articles on Drouin. You know, a lot of people were hoping maybe that would be something that would work out with the Ducks. You know, a lot of talk with Vatanen and Drouin and some pieces and whatnot. That was another you know, hot topic in regards to Vatanen, and that one didn't work out. Obviously, Eddie, what did you think about the Drouin one? You know, did you want to get him to the Ducks? And, you know, when it didn't happen, were you surprised or upset, or what did you think about the whole situation?
You know, when you look at it now, and the reason Tampa Bay made that trade and Montreal made that trade, you know, Tampa traded in their division, and that's something, you know, you wouldn't have expected, but I think the options from outside were probably not as good. Obviously, Vatanen was the guy the Ducks wanted to trade, but Tampa ultimately wanted to bring a guy back that they didn't have to protect, so they could get an extra forward slot. You know, after trading Drouin, they used that extra slot that they would have used to protect Drouin to protect Vladislav Namestnikov. So that is a big part of the deal and why they ended up getting to trade with Montreal and getting Sergachev in the end. And, you know, I think the Ducks maybe would have been able to offer possibly Theodore or Larson and get it Drouin in return. But, you know, I think the value that Tampa had in Sergachev was higher. And in the end, they ended up going with that deal. And it's disappointing because I do think the Ducks could have pulled it off. I think possibly, like I said, Theodore or Larson might have got the deal done. And I'm sure there might have been conversation between Murray in Yzerman in a type of trade like that. But, you know, in the end, he goes to Montreal, and I think it's a great trade for both teams. I think right now it's an excellent trade for Montreal. I think, you know, getting a star like that, and important for them that he's French-Canadian as well. That's always important for their fans in Montreal. And I think he's going to be a dynamic player for them next year, playing with Galchenyuk if he's still there, and Radulov if they can end up re-signing him. And in the long run for Tampa Bay, having a young defenseman like Sergachev is going to help them on their blue line in the future.
Yeah, and you know, I agree with you. I think that was the big issue was the protection thing. I think if Vatanen would have gone over there, that would have caused some kind of issues with them trying to figure out that situation. So I think you're right. I think that might have been the issue, unless, like you said, Murray was able to, you know, want to give away some more prospects or whatnot. But I don't think, you know, as we said, it was more of a buyer's market kind of what was going on. So a lot of the stuff that they and, you know, some of the other teams, Islanders, Minnesota, whatnot, you know, they would have gotten, you know, basically reamed on some of these deals unless going with Vegas. So that's probably why nothing materialized between Tampa Bay and Anaheim there at that point. So that's really all that really happened with the trades recently. You know, we had one other big thing happen, Eddie, in the last week we didn't talk about. You know, the Stanley Cup final. Hello, the Penguins, they ended up taking out Nashville. So those of you out there that hated Nashville because they knocked out the Ducks, you should be happy because the Penguins took them out. Those of you that wanted Nashville to win because you hate Pittsburgh, well, you're just going to have to hate Pittsburgh more now. So Pittsburgh ended up winning the Stanley Cup in six games, Eddie, but it wasn't without some controversy in Game 6.
Yeah, I mean, that disallowed goal, I believe it was Forsberg who got the goal. The early whistle was a big part of that Game 6, and the fact that it was disallowed because the whistle was blown because the ref lost sight of the puck. It's just a disappointing way. It didn't really decide the game in the end. I mean, obviously, that was Nashville would have been up 1-0, and then Pittsburgh ends up essentially winning the game 1-0 with the empty net goal at the end, but... You know, it sucks. You don't want to see any game, especially an elimination game in a Stanley Cup final, have that happen. But, you know, it does. Unfortunately, it happens in the NHL still, and there's not much you can do about it. I mean, human error. At times, the refs are going to lose sight of the puck, and it comes down to their judgment. And he thought that the goalie had it, and unfortunately it wasn't covered, and the puck goes into the back of the net, and the goal doesn't count. And for Nashville fans, I can understand why they're frustrated, but... You know, this happens all the time, and it's just disappointing it happened in a Game 6 in a deciding game for their team. But, you know, you lost 6-0 or whatever, 7-0 the night before. You couldn't win a game in Pittsburgh. You know, it's not all won or lost on that blown call. And there's a lot of other things that team has to look at as well on why they lost this series to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if that was gone the right way... who knows what happens after that? It's early in the game. You don't know if Nashville blows them out. You don't know if Pittsburgh comes back and wins or ties it, whatever. It's a really hard-fought game. And then even then, it would then have gone to a Game 7. So you don't know necessarily what would have happened. Of course, it's unfortunate. Obviously, if it was the Ducks, we would be upset too. I mean, granted. And we've seen that happen with this team. We've seen calls like that where the puck's loose and then the whistle goes. And fortunately, the ref lost the sight of the puck there, so that's why he blew it. Nashville's goal was negated. But overall, you know, a good series. Unfortunately, you know, wanted the Ducks against the Senators or the Ducks against the Penguins, and that didn't materialize. So Pittsburgh now back-to-back champs. First time in a long time that's happened, especially during the salary cap era. So congrats to them. Nashville, they had a great season. They have nothing to be ashamed of as well. They turned everybody upside down. Nobody thought that they were going to get through Chicago, St. Louis, and us. So nothing to be ashamed of there. So the season's now done and we're focusing on all this stuff, Eddie. I guess just a quick kind of reminder of what's coming up just so everybody knows. Right now, we're in that period where there's the trade freeze. The teams are only able to trade with Vegas right now, and that's going to go on up through Thursday morning. And we'll also get a whole bunch of information the day before on Wednesday. That's the award show in Vegas. That's when you'll find out who Vegas is going to take. All these other trades that hopefully are going to come out that day. It's going to be kind of an explosion of information that day. And then obviously we look forward to the weekend, Eddie, and the draft coming up on the 23rd and the 24th.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting too. Obviously the Ducks don't have a first-round pick for the draft, but they've got two second-round picks. Or at least for now, we don't know what's going to be involved
in
the Vegas trade or not. They might end up losing one or two of their second-round picks. I doubt they'll lose both or even one, but we'll have to see. But as of now, they have two second-round picks and a third-round pick. I put on Ducks and Pucks and on the Puck Network, I put out what the Ducks might potentially draft at those positions, so you can check that out if you want to. But it'll be interesting. The draft this year is pretty crazy after the top five. There's guys ranging from, you know, ranked 15 or 16 and all the way down to maybe 50 or 60. So it's wide open this year for where guys could go. You can really, a pick in late first round is almost as valuable as a pick late second round with some of the guys in the way they're ranked. So the Ducks have a shot at getting a pretty good player with their two second round picks. So it'll be interesting to see who they draft there and, you know, what it needs they address. Obviously, there's needs to build up the prospect pool on forward, obviously with how well We're stocked up on defense, but there's also a need maybe to bring another young goaltender in the system. Obviously, John Gibson's going to be here for a while, but there's not much in the pipeline behind him anymore. So there's a need there maybe in a third or fourth round to go out and grab a goaltender as well.
Yeah, you mentioned, your article is up on there as far as, possible players that the Ducks will pick up. So check those out on the website. Also, we kind of did a bunch of articles this last week, or actually I should say Thomas did a bunch of articles this last week on the Ducks trading up in the draft. And he went through the whole first round. I'll probably repost those links again so that people can check them out. But he did a really good job. He talked about all the teams in the first round and the Ducks' chances of trading up, with those teams. And I liked in some of the ones because he talked about how they weren't realistic and, that the Ducks probably aren't going to be able to trade up to a bunch of teams. And given what's going on in Vegas right now and the position that the Ducks are in, I don't even know if they'll be able to really trade up given this situation now, because some of these articles were written obviously before we found out the protection lists and whatnot. But it's something interesting to look over, Eddie, and see there. I mean, there is that possibility, but I think it's kind of rare. I don't know. What do you think of the Ducks trading up in the first round?
Trading up into the first round I think will be difficult. They've got two late second round picks. One in the 50s, one in the 60s. So I think it will be tough for them to go out and do that. Maybe a late first round pick and maybe giving up both second rounds might get you there. But like I said, the draft this year, a late first round pick is almost just as valuable as the pick the Ducks already own. And they own two of them right in the late second round. So, in my opinion, why move up and give up two picks when you can just keep those two picks and arguably get just as good players at that position? So I think that's something they're going to look into. You're not going to move up into the top 15 with the two picks that you have. If they have the chance to do that, then maybe you end up moving those two picks and moving up in there. But I don't think they have the value there to move up. And I don't think they really have the need to move up right now. They have two late picks. You might as well bring two prospects into your system instead of one and hope that they pan out in the future.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this year's draft isn't as strong as some of the ones that we've seen before. So, later picks are actually, more valuable because the earlier picks aren't as, valuable. So with that, you got the whole week of action. We'll be back after the regular draft, because you've got the expansion whole deal going down on Wednesday with the award show and all that. So we'll have it all covered. We'll come back next week and go through all that. The only other thing really to check out is tpnhockey.com. We have a lot of shirts that are on sale, some of them as low as $5.99. So check it out, tpnhockey.com. I'm also working on some other things. We may be shifting some gears here and using different people to make shirts and try and get things a little bit more streamlined. So, look for that. We also have the podcast up on different places as well, and I'm trying to get it posted in other areas that of it, let you watch the podcast, like iHeartRadio is out there. I put in a request to join that. We're on Spreaker now. Obviously, we're also on YouTube still and Podomatic and iTunes. So look for that. We're just trying to expand and be in different places. So if you have any other suggestions of where we should go, let us know. We appreciate you listening to the show as always. Appreciate the interaction with the fan questions as well. And see you in a week, and let's go Ducks.